and a very pleasant day to you. It's Ed Elcott, and this is Elcott The Next Step. And good morning and good day. And with me here is Bodie Godberg. Bodie is with our Wampaw, New York branch office, and we have some 70 branch offices around the United States as we put forward each and every day through our daily activities and through our daily routines the liturgy that is Elcott, The Next Step. Well, good day to you, Bodie.
Yes, good day to you. It's a very lovely day here in New York. I'm waiting for the snow to fall.
We're all waiting for the snow to fall. It's September. I think we're going to have an Indian summer this year, do you think?
Well, I've seen some of the hillside is still got the lovely leaves on it and so forth. It's quite possible, yes.
And as I mentioned, Bodie is from our Wampaw branch office, and Bodie is an elector. He is an elector saint, and that is one who guards and guides the Elcott, preserves as well as the north, south, east, and west. Bodie is himself an Elcott priest at Elcott East, but has subserved himself to become an elector saint. And what do you do each day as an elector saint, Bodie?
Well, we make sure, as you indicated there, Dr. Elcott, that the liturgy is safe, that the communications between novitiate, initiate, and church members is secure. And we make sure that there's no impropriety or compromising of this. And it's quite an interesting line of work, and there's a lot of people all over the country, you know, who are seeking and or looking for the answers, and because Elcott The Next Step has got all the answers, I think it's got all the answers, at least for my life, right?
And we never are so arrogant, I suppose, to put it to a word, Bodie, that we think we have the answer. We're different from most spiritual systems, I believe, in that we say if you find a better way, then that is perfectly acceptable, of course, so long as you don't drink from our milk bowl, as we say, as the great-great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather, Heaver Elcott, wrote, don't drink from the same nipple of sustenance.
Right, it's a long-standing Elcott The Next Step ethic that you not suckle from the tit of sustenance if you've got your own tit to suckle from.
This is correct. Well, in light of all of that, it was very interesting. For those of you who joined us perhaps at the very beginning, you heard the music of 50 Cent, or 50 Cent, and he was singing a song called Hold On. It's very thuggish music, and it speaks of the lower levels of competition and anger and strife that exists in the human family that we look to do away with.
That's correct.
And yet we do have our own struggles, and life is a struggle. Life is a struggle both against the instinct that we have to remain gross or base level, and also a struggle against that, in other words, ourselves, you know.
Right. It's a battle against your own negative instinct. It's also a battle against others who've got more of an influence in your life than they should.
This is correct. Guru Dadeev, who heads the Guru Dadeev Disciplites of Cleveland, Ohio, has been outspoken in recent weeks about Elcott, The Next Steps, a branch that opened in Cleveland, Ohio, on Lake Erie near the Marina District. Guru Dadeev said in a newsletter that was published to the Disciplites of the Guru Dadeev Ashram that the Elcott, The Next Step church members and clergy had taken over a warehouse district or a district of the marina for both a clearinghouse for our books as well as our worship center, and it impeded their access to their own religious facilities.
Right.
Tell us more about Guru Dadeev and the ongoing dispute that we've had with him.
Well, it's a dispute, frankly, from our standpoint, Dr. Elcott, we're able to see past this, and I think we can say that there is a distinct competitive feeling there of Guru Dadeev and the Disciple-like, because much of what we offer people, everyday people, is far richer and motivates people, I think, in the right direction. And Guru Dadeev, the Disciple-like, is more of an Eastern mysticism, and don't think it relates as well to the average person, especially in a city like Cleveland, Ohio, which is very working class still. So I think that there was a... I suppose you could say it was an explosion of pettiness, you know.
Well, it was very emotional, wasn't it?
It was emotional because there was a phone call received at the branch office there. It was received by Connie Wixon, who's our recording secretary, and it was Guru Dadeev himself who essentially said that he wanted us out 48 hours. And that's when Paddy got in touch with me.
And what was your read on that?
Well, my read was it was going to be the same song and a dance we've had with the Guru Dadeev Disciple Lights. We had this in Portland, Oregon. We have had this in San Francisco. We've had it all over the country. Every time we moved a branch office next to one of their ashrams or one of the Guru Dadeev Disciple Light centers, the study centers, that there's been this competition where, sure enough, 2 days later, an explosion. We're not sure whether this was a bomb or was some other sort of manipulation of the gas electrical system there at the culture center, but there was an explosion on a Sunday. There was no one there early in the morning, and it blew out three of the windows on the marina side and blew out the whole office, the entryway, which used to be an old bait shack.
Yes.
And it blew out the bait shack, blew out three windows, sent some furniture right into the lake. And so, as the young people say today, it was on, you know. And I put a phone call into Bob Hickson, who is, oddly enough, the husband of Guinevere Hickson, who's also one of our recording secretaries. Only he is a member of the Guru Dadeev Disciple-like, and Barbara Hickson, or Wendy, they call her Wendy. Sometimes they call her Catherine. And
the names is interchangeable. I are not take drugs no more. I are not take drugs no more.
All hail Elkhart.
The names is interchangeable. So go ahead.
Yeah, right. So. And I asked her, I said, well, why don't you talk to your husband and see what's up? He said, you didn't hear this from me. And, of course, now I'm saying that we did hear it from him, so I don't know. I hope there's no reprisal. But at this point, you know, we Elkhart, the next step, leads me in everything that I do, every decision I make.
As well it should.
Yes. And so I said, look, if he winds up in the bottom of Lake Erie or so, you know, I don't know. All I can tell you is we're trying to protect our property there. Bob said that Guru Dadeev, who had been in Cleveland, and they've only got the three of, they've got an office in Gary, Indiana. They've got the ashram in Gary, Indiana, Chicago, and one in Cleveland. We are in 70 different cities. And I think the feeling there is that we've got most of the country. And they've only got that part of the lake area there, the Lake Michigan, Lake Erie. And I said, what does that have to do with the price of tea, you know?
Well, this is all very petty, and yet it's significant in that the struggle for the spirituality, the spiritual soul, the spiritual survival of the American people, of the North American people, because we in Elkhart, the next step, we have branch offices in Toronto, in Montreal, in St. Catharines, Ontario. We have one in Victoria, Canada, and so we have been more aggressive, as was the vision originally of Hevner Elkhart. When Hevner Elkhart heard the call of the siren, which was in fact the sounds of two cats in an alley behind the Elkhart home there in Wampa, New York. I can show you the home. It's right here in the village of Wampa. Back in the 1800s, my great-great-grandfather awoke one night and heard two cats.
Well, they were having sex. There's no question. These two cats are like screeching and screaming, and that was the siren.
And it called Hevner Elkhart to prayer, to morning prayer, and he dropped to one knee and then to his stomach. In Elkhart, the next step, the way we meditate and pray is we lay on our stomachs with our arms out and our legs spread. And you can well imagine that that takes quite a bit of space, and so we need much bigger worship centers and churches than they would in the Gura Dadiv Disciplite, where everyone sits and tucks into a ball, and that's how they pray.
Right, and so the space you need for a person who's constricted their space so would be much less.
That is correct. All right, so we had a bomb blast go off at our offices there in Cleveland, Ohio, and then it was to the mattresses we went. Now, I want you to know that we're not talking about a gang war. We had people calling, saying, what do you mean to the mattresses? What we mean by that is we simply were spending the night here at the novitiate. We're spending the night at our church centers and branch centers, sleeping there to make sure that there is a secure space. We have our elector saints, such as Bodhi Hare, the others, who stand guard at the windows.
Right. We'll be at the window, I'll be at the door. Sometimes we'll get three or four of the elector saints who ride around the perimeter of the branch or the worship center in a car if we see anyone suspicious. And most of the Gura Dadiv elector disciplites wear the ochre-colored robe. They wear a robe with a sash. Much like a Hare Krishna, they shave their heads.
Yes, they do. This is a very striking feature of the Gura Dadiv Disciplite. They're all bald. The heads are shaved clean, slicked, and greased. And the head shimmers in the moonlight. So no way are any of them going to hide from our elector saints. Now, on that side, the Gura Dadiv Disciplite have the beginning.
The beginning has been compared to the fruit of Islam. They are a security force of their own right. The elector saint is a security force, but none of us see this as paramilitary. We are spiritual only, but the beginning is the security arm of the Gura Dadiv Disciplite.
But they are also shaved and greased.
Right, they're shaved and greased from the waist up, so they don't wear any shirts. They walk around with no shirts on and orange shorts. And most of the time with just those flip-flops, which you call a flip-flop.
Yeah, we used to call them beachwalkers.
Yes, they've got orange day-glow beachwalkers, orange shorts. They're bald, greased. As they say, they are greased, and they're greased. They're like white lightning up a black snake's you-know-what.
Yes.
And so we were at the window, and right after the explosion in Cleveland, here in Whampoa, and I saw, as clear as day, a couple of bald heads darting between bushes. And that's when I went outside, and another bomb blast went off. This was some of the people here in Whampoa, as a matter of fact, called the local sheriff. This is a bomb blast that went off in the bushes.
Well, this was in the bushes about 100 feet from the front door here. And then another bald head was seen and another blast. Now, you can put two and two together. You don't have to be a mathematician to figure that out.
No, that's exactly right. This was a Gura Dadiv Disciplite, members of the beginning. They'd thrown two hand grenades. And then, unfortunately, one of our elector saints was gunned down the next morning as he was leaving a breakfast place. There's a little breakfast joint down in the corner. He'd gone in to get bacon, eggs, and some coffee. As he was leaving, tipped the waitress, walked out the front door, looked left, went to his right, and then a speeding SUV of some sort. Some people said it was SUV. It might have been a passenger station wagon, but there were two gun barrels seen.
And he was gunned down right there on the street.
That's correct, yes.
So you can see that this is the beginning, a flashpoint of the competition for your spiritual life. And really, there's nothing in Elkhart. I almost said Elkhart. All hail Elkhart.
All hail Elkhart.
I almost said Elkhart, which is the embodiment of the demon. And you'll see Elkhart has his filthy, dirty paws in this one, don't you?
Oh, there's no question. It's the first thing I said to Rudy Markbright, who's another member of the elector, he's an elector saint from the Florida, and had come up here. I said, if this is an Elkhart, then I'm a gone mother, F-U-C-K-E-R. So.
Yeah, we don't use the vulgarities, but we can spell them out. In Elkhart, the next step, that's what we call release. and gratification. I don't say F-U-C-K, I spell it. And when I heard about the gunning down of Broderick Nelson out in front of, was that in front of Weta's?
It was in front of Weta's Flapjack Shack, right.
Weta's Flapjack Shack, down here at the corner of 3rd and Boston. And when I heard about him walking out, dabbing his lips dry of the syrup, tossing whatever he tossed on the counter as tip money, and we all used to kid with him, he was as cheap as hell, just as cheap as living hell. He was a guy that we loved dearly, but God, he was cheap. He used to throw a penny or two just to watch the reaction of the waitress. And the first thing I said when I heard that he'd been shot multiple times on the street there in front of Weta's early in the morning, I said, what did he stiff somebody else for a tip?
Yeah, right. I bet, you know, it's not unlike him, Roy, you know, to do that. And the first thing you think of is someone is going to take a shot at you one of these days. I haven't said that to him. I says, you know, someone's going to take a shot at you.
Well, but the people that we suspect took a shot at him and killed him were the Gur Dadiv disciplites, members of the beginning paramilitary security force that they have. The information we had, where there were bald heads, greased and fully geared. And when we say fully geared, they were flexed. They were checking out their own biceps, looking at how flat their stomachs were. And when they're in that level of awareness, you need to watch out.
Right. If I'd been there, I can tell you it would have ended much differently, because I would have put a stop to that.
What would have been your technique or method?
I simply would have run directly toward the car as it was speeding and leapt onto the windshield and blocked the vision of the driver, absorbed whatever shots were going to come from inside the car, but take my chances that way, and then allow the driver to careen. What you're trying to do is try to get it to careen.
Careen off the street and into a storefront or something.
Right, that's correct. Get it to careen into a storefront.
Well, this is a very interesting morning, and it's as part of Elcott, the next step that I think you all should know. I'm Dr. Ed Elcott, and we're talking here to Bodhi Godberg, who's a member of the Elector Saints. These are the, we don't call them security people in Elcott, the next step. We call them our overseers, and you do much security and guardianship for the overlords, correct?
Right, that's part of the job that we have, right. But we're also we're equal opportunity security.
Equal opportunity security, I like that. And a bit of a strain and some back and forth has been going on here between ourselves and the Gur Dadiv disciplite. There were three explosions heard near our own office there in Cleveland last week, and then one of our Elector Saints was shot and killed on the streets here in Wampaw as he was leaving Weta's Flapjack Shack, which is a breakfast place down here on 3rd in Boston. He was leaving and heading toward his car when suddenly an SUV sped around the corner, the windows came down, and while it was still moving, a large man in an overcoat was seen raising up with a Thompson submachine gun, smoke and bullets, and laying there on the ground was this Elector Saint. Quite a remarkable week we had last week.
Right, it's probably going to get a lot messier, too. A lot messier.
Well, we're going to take a break, and then we are going to have a member of the Gur Dadiv Disciplite, Carl Brackman, will join us from Detroit, Michigan, and he'll give us his take on the current troubles between Elcott, the next step, and the Gur Dadiv Disciplite. I'm Dr. Ed Elcott, and you're listening to Elcott, the next step.
Elcott, the next step, from Wampaw University in New York State. It's a presentation of the University of Wampaw, New York's Agriculture Department and the affiliated student unions. I'm Jerry Gorsier.
Elcott, the next step, can be accessed online. Look up our website and find out the wonderful publications and booklets that can be yours and help you guide yourself through each and every day. A very popular booklet are the sayings of Hevder Elcott, the great-great-great-grandfather of Ed Elcott, and Hevder Elcott's Things to Think of as You Go Through the Day.
My mind is a peaceful place where only you can go. Please, don't stay too long. Hello, I'm Ed Elcott, and that's one of the many sayings from my great-great-grandfather, Hevner Elcott, and things to think about as you go through the day.
You can get this wonderful little booklet, embroidered in gold, with a little golden bookmark and just a neat little plastic case by sending away to Elcott The Next Step, Wampaw, New York, the golden booklet. Again, Elcott The Next Step, Wampaw, New York, the golden booklet. The orange booklet is an entirely different booklet, and that has to do with a very highly sensitive and secretive initiation rite before you become a preservative. So please don't order that, because we have to send it to you if you do, and then you will know the secrets of the higher levels. And in the wrong hands, you could blind yourself, not have children, bleed from the rectum for the rest of your life. There's things that'll happen.
Elcott The Next Step. Now back to Dr. Ed Elcott.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Ed Elcott. I do highly recommend that you get the Things to Think About as You Go Through the Day booklet. These are sayings that were originated with my great-great-great-grandfather, Hevner Elcott, the founder of Elcott The Next Step. Do you have that, Bodie?
I've got that book. I've got a lot of books that were written by your great-great-great-grandfather, by Hevner Elcott, the founder. I've got that. I've got a marvelous collection of the four miracles and how they work. And I also have the five ways through the impossible obstructions of life, which is, I've got a leather-bound version.
Oh, that's very nice. You must have a beautiful library at home.
We do. We've got a nice library, and we've got all of Elcott's books, and it's quite striking.
All right, now, on the phone with us here is Charlie Bracken from Detroit, Michigan. And Charlie is a Gur Dadeev disciple-ite. And we're going to talk to Charlie now about the latest round of stresses and strains and competitions. We've had one man killed. We've had an explosion that tore open an office of ours. And the word has just come in now from Charlie that two members of the Disciple-ite, Charlie, you said were found in Lake Erie?
Yeah, they were found. All of a sudden started to sound like your guy there. I'm having a
try to originate.
Hey, don't lay that on me, man.
All right, let's be nice, okay?
But I don't want to hear any of your Elcott The Next Step bumbo jumbo, okay? I'm here to tell you that we found two guys floating face down.
All right, but you started saying negative things when you came on sounding just like Bodie.
Well, you guys have that way of casting a spell and doing magic and making stuff happen. I don't like it. I don't appreciate it.
Well, you weren't. Were you doing that, Bodie?
All right. Yes, I was, just for a laugh. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
For a laugh. See, so all of a sudden, what this guy's trying to do is make me look like a dumbass. I can't handle it. I can't have it.
All right. Let's take it easy. What happened in Cleveland?
We found three members of our church of the Disciple-ite Initiative floating face down in Lake Erie. So we know that was you guys. And I can tell you, this comes straight from the top. Payback's a bitch.
All right, so this nonsense is going to continue.
Nonsense? I mean, well, all we said was we called you guys up, said we wanted the waterfront back. You said, go ahead and pound that sideways. We said, all right. So you get yourselves a hand grenade. You know, and...
Right, and then you went after our guy. You went right after our elder saint. Excuse me, elector saint.
I don't care what he was. I mean, you know, I don't care who he is. He got it. And then we get back to Cleveland just in time to see this thing with our guys still there. So I don't think it's fair, and we'd like it to stop.
Well, we can't make it. You go ahead and stop.
No, you stop.
Hey, let me just for my part, let me interrupt and say, I'm willing to put all this aside if you're willing, Charlie, to call off your thugs in Cleveland. We're in Cleveland to stay. We're not leaving. We're not going to go away from Cleveland. Cleveland is ours.
Well, let me just say, God damn you. He did it again.
I'm sorry.
Don't do that, all right?
I apologize. It was an instinct.
Yeah, you see, you make me sound like you. You know, I don't even know why I'm talking to you. You make me sound like...
All right, I'm sorry for making you sound like an asshole, but you were the guys that tossed the hand grenades, you know.
All right, look, I'll take it back to Gur Dadi. I'll see what he has to say, but I don't know.
Well, see what he has to say, and will you get back on the air with us next week?
Yeah.
These guys, they're very sensitive over there because they thought they could throw some hand grenades and plant bombs near our office there at the marina at Lake Erie, and that would be the end of that. Well, guess what? No, it wasn't. Then they shot and killed one of our guys. So we just hit them last night. We hit them hard and we hit them fast. And
we got three of theirs.
And we got three of theirs, three bodies. Here's something just now. What's this from, Jerry?
Well, that just came in from San Francisco.
San Francisco, three members of the Gur Dadi. Here it is here. Look at that. Read it and weep.
Right. Three members of the Gur Dadi Disciplite. Another three members of Gur Dadi Disciplite were killed when an automobile they were getting into near the Alligator Fish Market blew up, killing all three and starting a fire near the marina, near the Fisherman's Wharf. Well, all right, so that makes it more than even.
Well, we've gotten six of theirs to only one of us. Six of theirs to one of us. That sounds like the math is about right there. You know, if you want to hit us, we'll hit you right back, and we'll hit you hard. Okay? So you think, and that's San Francisco. You guys think you got San Francisco wrapped up. No, you don't. We got San Francisco. We've got the waterfront. We've got all the docks. And we've got all the trucks going out of those docks, too.
Well, it's one of the things about the Gur Dadi Disciplite is that they really only have a power base in Cleveland and Chicago and in Gary, Indiana. They're in Detroit. You heard that one chap calling from Detroit. And they've got a lot of ideas, and they've got a lot of places they like to go, places to go, people to see, all this bull. But I think at the end of the day, it's really going to be a win for Elkhart, the next step. I just don't think these guys are...
I don't either. I'm going to talk now to Gloria Grover, as one of the Elkhart preserves, and we have Gloria on occasionally to discuss matters of liturgy and philosophy, and also Gloria's an individual that I was intimately involved with. Gloria, you know these Gur Dadi Disciplites. What's their story?
Well, I think they're dangerous. I think they're very violent. And I think whatever they do to us, we have to hit them back twice as hard. We got to hit them now. And Larry, who is not a member of Elkhart, the next step, even Larry said to me this morning, Jesus Christ, Mom, Jesus Christ, let's hit him now and hit him hard. And I said, Larry, you're not... You've got no business using the word hard. I laughed, and...
Well, you are a little demon.
Hey, good morning, Mrs. Grover.
Oh, hi, Bodie. By the way, Bodie, I talked to your mother. She said she and I are going to have salads. We're going to have salads this weekend.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's great. So I love to see my mom get out and talk with her girlfriends, especially you.
Yeah, we're going to have a salad. But, Larry...
Yeah, just tell him, you gotta hit him hard.
I know, Larry. Ha ha, hit him hard. We've dealt with these people. They're pigs, they're savages. Their religion calls for the tithing of too much money. They grease up, they wear orange. I just can't take the look of them. And when they walk into a party, it clears a room out. When you see a group of these guys in their orange robes, or they've got on shorts, and they're greased from the navel to the top of the head, you say, why did I even get out of bed for this? So, Gur Dadi, you may not be listening. Probably you aren't. But let me say, you've got to go back to the, you know, go back to the drawing board with this one, because it's a...
Well, all right, Gloria, thank you very much for your opinion this morning. And I think it's... what happened to the music?
Sorry.
We've got to start all over again. Good morning. This is Elkhart, The Next Step. I am Ed Elkhart, and with me is Bodie Godberg, an Elector Saint, here with Elkhart, The Next Step. Good morning, Bodie.
Good morning.
We had to start all over again because my engineer, Jerry, potted the music down. We're in the middle of a turf war with the Gur Dadi Disciplite. So far, we've hit six of theirs. They only got one of ours, a guy leaving a waffle shack down here in Wampa, but we got three guys in Cleveland the other night, and we got three more last night. Or this afternoon. Was it tonight, or when that happened?
The news is it happened earlier today.
Well, let's just call it today. We got three more with a bomb blast that took out three of them in a car in San Francisco, and the other three were shot and killed and thrown into Lake Erie. This is Elcott, the next step.
That's nuts.
I'm letting them know, I'm letting them know. And then the other thing I heard, these guys are crazy. These disciplites, one of these guys tried to behead. Did you hear this?
Oh, yeah. Please tell me you're kidding.
Oh, I'm not. He tried to take the head clean off of a member of Elcott, the next step, who got the drop on him, turned the tables, and basically gave that guy a haircut, if you'll forgive, by being ironic, satirical, sarcastic, and everything else. Let's talk to Herb Hebner, who is at our Denver branch office. Herb, I understand that you saw this.
Yes, I did see it, and it was everything that you said it was, is this man who was a disciplite approached a member of our branch and come out of worshiping, and he had a large saber, a cutlass of some kind, with some Muslim saying that was carved into it, was glowing in gold. And when this man stepped back as a member of the religion that they were talking about, the Gordon Deep disciple, I'd stepped back and was ready to basically bring that blade across the man's neck. He turned around and grabbed the blade and turned the tables on this member of the Gordon Deep disciple. And by the time he was done, he was bouncing this head off the blade of the saber almost as if he was playing hacky sack. And then did actually start playing hacky sack with this guy. I said, you got to knock that off. Stop it. And stop it now. And he said, okay. And he just took the head and put it down and he ran away. That was the shocking scene that we saw today.
Well, that's typical of Elcott, the next step. We'll do something brutal and horrible and frightening and then turn it into a game of hacky sack. How do you like that?
It's something that is for me, and for my taste at least, it's something that I'll never forget, and something that I both admire and at the same time I'm frightened of. By the way, I just saw an ad for this TV show, Mulaney, the comic Mulaney, who's on Fox Television. I think it's Fox Television, and it looks like it's going to be a stiff. This is
He's got a loop, doesn't he?
Well, sometimes we get into a loop when we're shocked, frightened, or freaked out. And why do Koreans walk as if they have a cob stuck up? Only the Korean military. Why do they do that?
Well, hold on for a minute, though. You was making a point there about the loop.
Oh, I'm sorry. So that man got into a loop. And sometimes we will loop in Elcott, the next step, when we are emotionally disturbed or emotionally or mentally flared out or fried or cooked. Now, I saw three members of the Korean military walking with Kim Jong-un, walking as if they've got a rod or cob parked up their rectums. Why?
It could very well be that that's what they've got, or I think it's just a way that they walk because they're not healthy. The garbage they eat. They eat garbage. They eat absolute crap in Korea. Now here you see Kim Jong-un, and he looks like he's not able to ride a horse very well. And then there's Dennis Rodman there, who's talking to Kim Jong-un, who's smoking a cigarette. And Dennis Rodman Dennis Rodman looks like he should be a member of the Korean military.
Well, I don't know anything about Dennis. Is that the guy there?
Dennis Rodman, you're right. Well, the Koreans are all the guys who look like they're from Korea. Dennis Rodman is the African-American.
Oh, okay, all right. You're right, yeah. Well, you got anything else?
No, that's all I've got.
I'm going to cut this short because just looking at Kim Jong-un walking, doing what we call the cob walk, like I feel like doing that now. I think I'm going to be walking out of here. Look at this guy running up next to him. And they've got the big hat, too.
I think that's why they walk or run that way, because they've got that big, giant hat they wear, and they've got to balance it.
Oh, I see. They've got to balance it, yeah.
Well, don't give me a bum.
No, it's all right, but I'm not buying anything you're saying to me, that's for sure. You know why? Because I don't know whether you know this guy that called in here from the Disciplite, from the Gordon Deep Disciplite, who was complaining there from Detroit.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the two of you guys knew what you, like, was that a setup call?
It's not a setup call, no. Well, he was doing your voice and all that baloney.
No, it's not a setup call. I swear to God. I swear to God.
You swear to God, all right. Maybe it's because we had that little baby, the daughter of two of our preserves. Last week, we had that Beans Halberstam, that's it. And she tightened my jaws well beyond the legal limit. I wanted to pick her up and almost just throw her like a torpedo. You know, I wanted to see her sailing under the water, seeing that underwater contrail as she went headfirst into someone's cabin cruiser. I don't know.
Well, Dr. L. Squirrel, Dr. L. you...
Did you call me Dr. L. Squirrel?
No, sir. I think you need to get yourself a rest or something.
I think you're right. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. It's been a very difficult 2 weeks. But until next time, when we get rid of... We've got a turf war going on right now. We've taken out six of theirs. I don't know, we may get the word later that we've got more of our guys have gone up in smoke. But we're going to the mattresses. And when I say that, it doesn't mean I'm sleeping with a woman. I may be sleeping here with Bodie Godberg tonight.
And that's a possibility.
Yes, it is. This is Dr. Ed Elcott wishing you the very happiest and most warm and succulent of weekends.
Elcott, the next step, from Wampaw University.
For a transcript of our program, write to Elcott, the next step, Wampaw University, 1616 Barnaby Street, corner of Boston 3rd, in the back of Wiedner's Waffle Shack.
This has been Elcott, the next step. Elcott, the next step, Wampaw, New York.
I was talking to a guy here. This is Herb Haggard. I'm with this is actually Chuck Barnaby.
Is it Elcott?
I know it's Elcott. I was just on the air with one of the Elector Saints, a guy by the name of Bodie Godberg.
Stand by. Bodie.
Hey, Bodie, it's Chuck Bragner.
Well, that's not the name you used on the air. What name did you use on the air? I forget what the name. You kept getting the name wrong.
Sorry.
And you messed it all up because Dr. Elcott could tell. And you called in and you started doing my voice, trying to do comedy. I told you not to do the comedy. Don't do comedy when we're trying to...
Well, I... So, do you think he bought it, though, that there's...
Yeah, I think he bought the fact that there is a turf war going on between ourselves and his disciple. But if we're to get any, if we've got any chance of putting that dance pavilion in there on Lake Erie, we've got to do a better job of scaring him, you see. He's going to be scared. So he recommends selling that property. We buy it out from underneath and we've got our dance pavilion. It's a dream that you've had, it's a dream that I've had. And we can do it, you know, through the service, through our belief in Elcott, the next step, and the disciple line.
Right, I mean, I've always wanted to own my own dance place, but I can't believe that he bought... We messed up.
Well, that's how stupid he is. He's a moron. He's a moron, all right? So you do your part, I'll do my part, they'll sell that property, and we'll have what we've always wanted, our own dance pavilion. Can you imagine it? We'll be in bow ties, and we'll play the clarinet. And I'll have on patent leather shoes, and I'll spin about the dance floor, and I'll say, all right, ladies, and all right, gentlemen, it's time now for the waltz. I'll be a right smart dance pavilion, like we've all seen back in the old days. They don't have no more, you know.
I know, it's, I've always wanted that.
I know you have, and I have too, and that's what brought us together. That's what made us go across those lines that separate us from the Gore de Dave, Discipleite, and Elcott, the next step. And that's why you and I finally came out to each other. And you remember that night, don't you?
I'll never forget it.
Right. Well, now we can have our own dance place. Think about it, will you? And also, by the way, those shoes you picked out, those are the worst, most gay...
Here it is, Sexy Eyes. Come on, Sexy Eyes, wake up. It's August Selson. and the August Selsen Sensual Hour.
I was sitting all alone, watching people.
Well, I sure hope that you have the video portion of our program today. August Selsen is here with you. I'm moving a little bit here in the studio, doing a little bit of my dance steps and kind of moving around. Can't help but move around when you hear the great sounds of Dr. Hook of the Medicine Show.
I looked up, what did I see?
Ooh.
Sexy eyes.
Ooh.
On across the floor, got me wanting more. Sexy eyes.
Ooh, yeah. Oh.
Sexy.
Well, pleasant day to you, and welcome to the August Selsen Sensual Hour. What a week. What a week. I know that you've read a lot and you've heard a lot. Now it's my turn. As we like to say, now I'd like to very respectfully request that you listen to my side of things. And I think you'll find that there is a side to this that is going to be interesting to you. And that I think you'll find highly credible and very different from what perhaps you've seen in the newspapers. I want you to know something. I still have great belief in the future. I've got great belief in August Selsen and all that he can achieve. And lest we start thinking of August Selsen as someone who's a bit detached from himself and someone who suffers from perhaps an inordinate amount of ego, I refer to myself in the third person, not because of ego, but quite the opposite, because I have very little ego, and I look upon August Selsen as much, much larger than life than what my own puny life, and as we saw over the last 5 days, my own flawed life can be, and in fact is. So let's get all of the business out of the way. Let's get the mess, as one of the people that I've been speaking with this week calls it, the mess. The mess, the mess, the mess, the mess. Things were going very good. And on Sunday last, now today is the 19th, so Sunday last would have been the 13th, if I'm not mistaken. Today is the 20th. Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the 20th. So Sunday last would have been the 14th. The 14th. I got up. It was a day after our broadcast. And I went to wake Lady Beth up because she, in my recollection, in my mind's eye, she was a late riser. And when I turned to awaken her, I saw in the bed next to me what was the remnants of a turkey that I remember distinctly cooking and putting in the refrigerator for sandwiches. I love to have the turkey sandwich. I know probably you're the same way, and you'll keep the turkey with you in the refrigerator, I should say. You don't keep it with you in a bed. And of course, that was the first thing that seemed very unlikely. Now, this was all reported, much to the laughter and to the amusement of any number of local disc jockeys here in our area, here in Las Vegas, but all across the country. This is where the reporting stopped. This is where the reporting stopped. August Selsen, the nationally syndicated host of the August Selsen Sensual Hour, awoke to refrigerated cold turkey meat on the bone on a plate next to him and claimed to police that when he went to bed the night before, he went to bed with his partner and oftentimes concubine / sexual support, Lady Beth. She has taken my last name, by the way, or did take my last name, because the existence of Lady Beth, I will tell you, regardless of the reporting that you've heard, the existence of Lady Beth, in my opinion, is still to be established. By that I mean,
We're looking for her. There was a great deal of irresponsible reporting early on. When I was first in the hospital and then later when Dr. Caremark obtained my release. That Lady Beth doesn't exist. I believe that she does. I believe that she does. Because as comic as it may seem to a lot of you, and I know many of you who were having a field day at my expense this past week, and I know the names and I know the radio stations. As common as it was for you to think that I had been living with and having sexual relations, I'll say it. That's what my program is about. I don't worry about the FCC or a station manager coming in and pointing his finger and raking another finger across the finger and saying, ooh, bad, bad, you said a dirty word. I don't have to worry about that. I'm August Selson, and my program is free and clear and, I think, a very mighty, mighty sound. The mighty sound of a trumpet in a sexual desert. And unlike all of you, who, at my expense, had the most sadistic broadcast party over this past week, I believe that Lady Beth exists, and you can laugh, and at my expense, dance and sing, and believe that I have been having sexual relations with, I've been dancing with, I've gone to grocery stores with, I have had long conversations with a partially eaten turkey carcass, meaning this is what the claim was. Now, Dr. Caremark, who is my own personal physician, he has a degree in psychiatry, in pharmacology, he's a medical doctor. Dr. Caremark calls it a transference of such epic dimension. There's no question in his mind that Lady Beth, by almost default, exists. If not in the flesh, in that area of belief and imagination whereby things are created. Now, please hear me, because in the following weeks, last week you heard a lot of slander, which I will deal with presently. My attorneys have been informed and are, as we speak, collating and collecting all of the slanderous statements that were said and will be a part of a civil action, I can assure you, when the time is right. But for now, I want to explain to you what has occurred and assure you that there is nothing unusual, nothing untoward has happened to change who I am and what my essential message is. I awakened to a cold platter, a ceramic platter of some kind, and turkey bones and some meat, one of the drumsticks partially eaten. There were saliva samples taken. I am told now that was my saliva. So Dr. Caremark believes that the act of sexual intimacy that I was convinced and am now convinced I had with a woman was me eating the turkey, and there was salt and napkins. Do you understand? This is not the mark of a madman, to bring napkins and salt into bed with him and turkey. And there was a television that was turned on, I believe, if I'm looking at the report here from the sheriff's department that had made that responded to the call, Mrs. Cuthington, who lives next door, and was the first one to see me outside, she saw me first initially, I think, I was on her property. She called the sheriff. The sheriff made the report saying that the television was on. It was on to HBO, and it was on to one of the Max channels, the Cinemax channels that present the Spice and other adult films. So I was watching an adult film, eating turkey with salt, and in my mind, sexual relations with a woman that I've known for the last 3 years as Lady Beth, who I met at the Olympic Gardens in Las Vegas, Nevada, at a time when I was quite depressed. She was a dancer. All of this, when you put it together, in the hands of some of the local disc jockeys and some of the local press, such as it is in the city of Las Vegas, and I think what I find fascinating is that this is a city so bereft, really, of news beyond the usual crooked city politics and the payoffs and the graft and the police, my God. But they have got enough time for August Selson, don't they? They've got enough time for August Selson to bring their cameras into my home, to photograph me while I was not fully clothed, to get pictures of me on Mrs. Cuthington's property, where the sheriff initially arrested me. They followed the sheriff's deputies' cars to this address. And the sheriff's deputies, in the process of arresting me, brought me out in front of the Cuthington home. I had no clothing on. I had been on the roof of Mrs. Cuthington's house and apparently had stumbled. I don't remember any of this, but I'm looking very... And I don't think any of the disc jockeys and the morning zoo people have any of these reports. They have none of these reports. They just made their jokes. Well, I have the police report. I was arrested by and taken into custody, and really, more to the point, I was taken into the care of the Las Vegas Sheriff's Department for my own safety. Imagine that. Think of that. That's not a man that is dangerous to anyone other than himself. If that, and I maintain to this day I was dangerous to no one, there was a process that I was going through in order to reestablish connection to my awareness of reality, which I maintain to this very day, is unflawed. Lady Beth, if you are listening, and I have every reason to believe that you are, you must contact the sheriff's department immediately. Tell them you're Lady Beth, the consul consort of August Selson, host of the August Selson Sensual Hour. You must do this, and you must do it as quickly as you can. Dr. Careworth, along with Rick Butts, who is my attorney, obtained my release from the 72-hour observation hold. I was then remanded to general population at the county jail, where I stayed for 48 of some of the most off-putting and uncomfortable hours I think I've ever spent in my life, as I tried to find a place to conduct my sexual re-energizing. And there's no place in a jail, let me tell you right now. You may think there is. There's no place in a jail. I was in a cell with six other men, and between them and me, trying to do my sexual reorienting, my meditations, I had no chance at all. I had to attend to the needs of these men, you can well imagine. Six of them, one of me, all of them members of what appeared to be a local criminal gang. It's all right. It's all in a day's work. All in a day's work for August Selson. But I finally spoke to the watch commander, and I said, I need to call Lady Beth. He said, you understand we have not been able to contact or locate anyone by that name. The only thing that we found was a plate of turkey in bed next to you. And when you had the physical, because we were giving you a, before we put you in the shower, the doctors looked at you and did a sponging of you, because you were sweating, and they sponged you off and found bits of turkey on your penis. Now, this information also made it out to the local morning disc jockeys, and I'm saying specifically now to the Lou crew, Beth, Lou, and Stu, the Lou crew at 91X, who had just a wonderful time laughing and singing and dancing, talking about how they found turkey, bits of turkey and cranberry sauce on my penis. I have no problem talking about these things, because this is what August Selson has always represented. And if I can free up one person today, telling you about my experience of the last week, if I can free one person up today to be aware of your potential, then I think I've done my job. Now, I'm not hiding from anyone. We're going to talk to Roger Packer, the general manager of Newbie Broadcasting. He's also one of the owners of KKLN, the local station here in Las Vegas that I am on. And we will talk about this quite candidly. And again, I want to thank the management at KKLN, as well as Newbie Broadcasting, for allowing me this program. I do be able to tell you, very candidly, without all of the morning show antics, without all of the disc jockeys, without all of the local media, without the local press, without the tittering and the giggling and the laughing, to tell you quite frankly what happened. And what happened was this. On Friday night of last week, and Dr. Carecraft has asked me to use the phrase, as far as I believed it was happening. He asked me to use that phrase for legal reasons. Last Friday night, as far as I believed it was happening, I opened a car door and into my car stepped a beautiful, beautiful woman that I've known for five years, named Lady Beth. It's all right. Back up. Everyone back away from me, please.
You all right?
I'm all right. We drove to a night spot that we've enjoyed for many a year, as far as I imagined it happening. And as far as I imagined it happening, I opened the door and let this woman out. And as far as I imagined it happening, I walked into a dinner spot with her. And as far as I am aware of it and imagine it happening, I sat her in a booth next to me and we ordered dinner. As far as I imagine it happening, she spoke directly to a waiter. And I have that waiter's name. This is the name of the waiter here, right? Correct? Darren Nicolai, the waiter at this restaurant. Now, I have been asked not to say the name of the restaurant. Now, as far as because they would like to keep the name of their restaurant above this story at present, and I certainly understand that. The way that this story has been treated by the local disc jockeys and the morning zoo crews and these ridiculous individuals that are pass themselves off as newspaper writers, I don't blame you at all. I'd want to keep myself above the fray as well. That evening, as far as I imagined it happening, the woman that I was with, and I've been asked by Dr. Carecraft to not say Lady Beth, but to say the woman that I imagined that I was with. All right. Again, these are for legal reasons only. This has nothing to do with my sanity, and it has nothing to do with a diagnosis. I've been assured of this by not only Dr. Carecraft, but by the regional medical center staff. It's very emotional for me. Please, it's all right.
You're sure okay, August?
I'm fine. Please, everyone back away. Just take two steps back, please. Don't come any closer to me than 5 feet. 5 feet is the limit, as I said to you before the show. I have a staff here. I've asked them to not come closer to me than 5 feet. And there are reasons for that, and I will tell you. The woman that I imagined myself sitting next to, that I imagined her name to be Lady Beth, ordered, as I remember, penny pasta and a martini. I ordered spaghetti and meatballs and a beer. I had a Peroni beer. I had an Italian beer, Peroni beer, and I had spaghetti and meatballs. I'll tell you what I had. I didn't have spaghetti. I had the SpaghettiOs. I don't know why, but I ordered SpaghettiOs. I wanted something that would make me feel warm, and I was in need of some nurturing that evening. The woman I imagined myself with, who I imagined the name to be Lady Beth, finished her penny pasta and left the table. The next time I saw her, she was in my arms dancing at a local night spot. I got out of the booth, I went to the car, and I drove away without her. Why? Very good question. And this is, again, one of those, this is a key point, all of these high points, where the local morning zoo disc jockeys had a fun time at my expense. Why? Because they're stupid, and they don't know how to read the news properly, and they're about as aware of this story as perhaps the average decapitated fly. And if you talk about the morning radio in Las Vegas, I can assure you, because I've had some experience with some of these individuals, I was hired to be a astrologer on the Craig Lussain show, a shock jock show, so to speak. I was hired to do an astrology reading, and it was an absolutely unworkable situation. It was, quite frankly, despicable, the way they treated each other and the way they spoke on the air and so on. So this is an area where they seized on this news this last week, and the shock jocks here in Las Vegas and elsewhere had a big, big laugh. They had themselves a cold beer and had themselves a nice cold beer and a big laugh and didn't care what I was going through. When they said that I danced with the imaginary woman, I left that restaurant. And as I was leaving that restaurant, I nodded to Bill Nicoli, who is the owner, and that was his son that was serving us. And I said, I'm heading over to the Olympic Gardens where it all started. And he gave me a look, which I registered as okay. Why did I leave without the woman that I imagined to be Lady Beth? I'll tell you why. We had been experimenting with a level of sexual energy that is going to be very difficult for you to understand, but I'll give it to you as quickly and as succinctly as I can. It is called the EOG, EEOGF. It is a now extinct Visigoth word. Yes, it is a word of the Visigoth tribe, the Visigoth peoples who eventually settled Spain, the Spanish Peninsula. The EOG is a level of sexual energy where you can transmit yourself. You don't move through space. You are transmitted like a radio wave. And the woman that I imagined that I was with, named Lady Beth, and again, I'm using this phrase because my attorney told me that I must. Otherwise, I wouldn't use it at all. I think it makes me sound, to be quite honest with you, I think it makes me sound unsure of myself. I'm very sure of myself. But Dr. Warcraft and Rick Butts, who's my attorney, Dr. Carecraft, rather, asked me to be within the legal limits. And so I said that the EOG would broadcast this woman that I imagined myself to be with, Lady Beth, to the Olympic Gardens, where we would dance. And for old time's sake, she'd give me the lap dance that I so desperately needed that night. I needed nurturing. I knew something was wrong when I asked for the lap dance, and she proceeded to give me the woman that I imagined that I was seeing, I should say, proceeded to give me the most half-baked and uneventful lap dance I've ever had. And I've had hundreds of thousands of lap dances. Hundreds of thousands. The money that I've spent on lap dances alone could purchase three or four homes on the California coast, cliff level, with pools. There isn't an amenity that I wouldn't be able to afford if I had that money back. Dear God, if I had that money back. So I've seen a lot of lap dances. Maybe I haven't done the best with my life, and maybe I've thrown my money away front, right, and left, right, and center. But by God, I've had lap dances, and I know what a good one is, and I know when someone is phoning it in. And that night, the woman that I thought I was seeing lap dancing in front of me, she was phoning that in, and I'm being kind. I then grabbed the woman that I imagined I was seeing in front of me, and I dragged the woman that I imagined I was seeing, you know, being dragged by me, out to the car, and I threw this woman that I imagined I was seeing into the car. This woman, by the way, is Lady Beth, but I'm told by my attorney who's here, I understand, Rick, that I have to say, all right, it's Lady Beth, the woman that I imagined I was seeing that I call Lady Beth. I can't say she's Lady Beth.
No, you can't, because there's no proof.
Lady Beth, if you are listening, and I am legally allowed to say this, please call my private line. You know my private line number. Please call it. That is when I drove back to my residence with a woman that I imagined was sitting next to me, that I imagined her name was Lady Beth, and went into my house with this woman that I imagined was with me, and I imagined myself to be slapping across the face the woman I imagined that I was with. And that's when the woman I imagined I was with, named Lady Beth, packed a valise. I imagined that she was packing a valise and swept out of the house, telling me that she didn't love me anymore. I imagined this woman, the woman I imagined she, and I got on my knees and I begged the woman that I imagined was there to stay, and the woman that I imagined was there agreed to stay. That night, I imagined I was having an argument with the woman that I imagined was there, and I imagined that I was trying to convince the woman that I imagined was there, trying to convince her to engage in an unorthodox sex act. It was very unorthodox, and I imagined that the woman said no, the woman that I imagined was there, and I became very angry, and I ran outside because I remembered feeling sad and lonely and cut off from all love and all nurturing. I needed this to be nurtured. And I'm going to tell them, Dr. Gerecraft, I have to work up to it. It was the eating of feces.
Oh, Jesus.
I was told that there would be no reaction. Could you ask that man to leave there and that man that's laughing to leave now?
Get out now. Get out now. It's pretty funny. Get out.
I was told there would be no laughing. I was told there would be no laughing.
I apologize.
I went next door to Mrs. Cuthbertson's. I banged on the window, on her bedroom window. I am looking at the police report. There was fecal matter around my lips and mustache, and some caught on the goatee, and some on my mutton chop sideburns. So there was quite obvious contact with a woman, or a woman that I imagined was there. But how could I imagine she was there when I had this admittedly disgusting sex act? But at that time, it's what I needed. It's what I needed. I needed that kind of nurturing. And the doctors told me it was my own. And you can imagine how funny that sounds. How does that work? How does that work? Well, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. See? So, this is where Dr. Carecraft and I understand, doctor. Please, 5 feet away, doctor. 5 feet away. This is where Dr. Carecraft and I have a parting of the ways. When he arrived at the hospital where they were keeping me for a 72-hour observation, I said to him, and you can attest to this, I said, never in my life have I endured such betrayal. I would never put you in a place like this were the shoe on the other foot. To which he replied, it's what you need. It's really what you need. Eating excrement from a woman's anus is not what you need. I said, yes, it is.
Easy.
I'm being easy, but I'm emoting. You must allow me to be angry. You must allow me to be angry.
That'll be easy.
I'll be easy, doctor. Please maintain the 5-foot perimeter. You might as well know that at this time, there are 5 members of the local sheriff's department waiting for me to unravel. So I do feel betrayed. I feel used. I feel handled. I feel manhandled. But when your own friends and your own doctor and your own lawyer don't believe you, then I can only say the following thing. They didn't believe Columbus. They didn't believe Galileo. They didn't believe Einstein. And they didn't believe other great minds and great thinkers. Am I a great mind and a great thinker? No, I am not. Not by a long shot. All I did was propel the EOG, that sexual, higher level of sexual energy, propelled it to a level whereby I was completely comfortable eating excrement from a woman I loved, from her rectum. Why can't I say that? What are you guys doing? Why can't I say that? Just hold on, Doc. Why can't I say it? Why can't I say it? Hold on. Get up, down. Hold on. The music on.
Go.
KWLN, Las Vegas. Rudy Richter with the news. Las Vegas Board of Supervisors today said that they would vote a bond issue through later this week that would require the signatures of no fewer than 3 members of the Las Vegas City Council Supervisors sector. This bond issue would make funds available for the construction of an aqueduct conduit through the northern portions of the city where water resources have been at a limit this summer. The extraordinary heat and very high usage of electricity in the Las Vegas metro, as well as near Lake Havasu and other areas of the Nevada desert, has required city and state officials to go on alert for more water resources. In Washington, D.C., President Obama said that soldiers would be dispatched to Africa to help in the fight against Ebola. Most of the American troops that would be dispatched would be there for security purposes. For those of you who have tuned in to hear the August Selson Sensual Hour, that has been temporarily discontinued on this station. There'll be more information forthcoming at a later hour with Brad Pickenick and the Brad Pickenick Music Hour. Also, if you have questions, you're invited to call KWLN Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock and then also all the way until 5 o'clock. This is KWLNN News. Our weather, it's going to be very honey and soggy. It'll be hot and sunny here in Las Vegas with temperatures ranging anywhere from 100 to 110 degrees in the noonday sun and dipping down to a relatively cool 89 degrees tonight. Currently, at our studios on the Las Vegas Strip, it's 112 degrees. Bert Biskey, purporting.
KWLN. Yeah,
I was listening to the August Selson.
Yes, Dr. Selson's show has been discontinued by KWLN, and I've been asked to read. Dr. August Selson has given many great years of service to broadcast business. KWLN cannot conduct or endorse the activities we heard or him describe on his show today. Dr. Selson will no longer be heard from KWLN.
Is that so? He won't be on next.
No, sir, he will not.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for calling. KWLN.
Yes, I was just listening to the show and I heard the man get taken off. Was that Dr. Selson?
Yes, ma'am, unfortunately.
Oh my God, what happened?
Dr. Selson's not well. And he's going to be he'll be housed until such time as we figure it out.
Oh my God, I hope he's all right. Well, we just enjoyed him. I'm so sorry. Is he going to be back?
No, ma'am, he will not be back.
Oh, he won't be back?
No, ma'am.
Oh. Okay, well, thank you very much. We just enjoyed him so much. If you'll let the station manager know that.
I certainly will pass your comment out there.
Okay. It's a ma'am. I'm not a sir.
I apologize. It's been very hectic here.
Okay.
KWLN.
This is Chip Greenleaf. Is Sal in?
Is that newsroom?
Yeah, give me the newsroom, will you?
Newsroom.
Hey, Sal, it's Chuck Greenleaf. There was a fire extinguisher. It's a fire hydrant. I'm driving down Canyon. I saw a fire hydrant.
Yeah, where about?
It's right there at the corner of Melmer. And the fire hydrant's shooting water up in the air. I got a guy over there. Get somebody over to do a remote. You can do a remote broadcast on that. I don't know.
Right, you hear what happened?
What?
You hear what happened?
No, what happened? Selson had to take Selson out of here in a jacket again.
Again?
Yeah.
They put a straitjacket on him. He had tried eating his girlfriend. He thought he was eating his girlfriend's shit, basically, and it turned out he had his head down the toilet eating his own. So
you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
And he flipped out on the air?
And he flipped out on the air, yeah. They had the sheriff here.
Oh, why'd they have the sheriff there?
Because they were pretty sure he was going to do it, and they brought the doctor in and everything.
God damn, man. Yeah, that guy, well, you know what, it's a weekend show. Who gives a shit, you know?
Exactly.
So get somebody over that fire hydrant, yeah.
Fire hydrant's over on Burnt?
Yeah, it's on Burnt. It's on Burnt and Third.
All right.
Did they line in? Yeah, hello, who's this?
It's Perception, sir.
Oh, hi. My name is Mark Bardenhard, and I'm an advertiser on your station, and I heard August Selson get carted out of there by the police.
Yeah, unfortunately, out of meltdown or something.
Oh, did he really? Because I advertise. Can I get make goods on my commercials?
Oh, yeah, you talk to salesman this week.
Say that again?
Got to talk to salesman this week.
I think I did. I was going to give me that number.
Yeah, number's 3212.